It was a long night that night. Or at least it seemed to go on and on. Samuel was asleep on a pallet on the floor of the temple where the Ark of God was. And a voice kept calling, "Samuel! Samuel!" He thought it was the beckoning voice of his teacher, Eli. Eli's health was failing. His sight was dimming with age. He had those roughneck boys. You know what they say about priest kids. It must have been true from the beginning of time. So Samuel got up and went to Eli to see what he needed. But Eli, half conscious, being roused in his sleep, assured Samuel that he had not called him and sent him back. Then it happened again. This time the voice was louder. The urgency of the tone increased. "Samuel!" And again he went to Eli. Where else would he go? Who else would have called? There was no one else around, and as the story is told, he did not yet know the Lord. And Eli kindly, not growing impatient in any way, says, "I did not call, my son. Go lie down again." Then a voice calls a third time, and Eli, who is now awake, alert, paying attention, realizes that Samuel is being called by the Lord, and he instructs him how to respond. He says, "Tell him, 'Here I am, for you called me.'" And this time, the Lord does not only call, but he came and stood there. And Samuel did as he was instructed. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle." And when God says something like that to you, you better make sure you're paying attention. And Samuel was. God told Samuel about how things were really going to change. And Samuel now knew the Lord. And rather than run to Eli and tell him everything the Lord said, he lay there until morning because he knew that the things were going to change and that Eli might not like what the Lord was going to do. This 12-year-old boy now had the weight of the world on his shoulders. He now knew the Lord, and he knew that things were going to change. Eli knew the Lord too, and so he asked Samuel what the Lord had said, and to Samuel's credit, he didn't mince his words. He didn't try and nice up what the Lord had said to him, and we hear that the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is a rich story, full of depth, with many layers and levels of understanding of what is going on. There are subtle bits of information given throughout. Did you catch the fact that all of this was going on even though Samuel did not yet know the Lord? Did you notice that although Samuel did not yet know the Lord knew him? That seems to be a theme throughout our readings for today, being known by God. Psalm 139 is by far my favorite psalm, so much so that I chose it for the ordination to the priesthood, even though it wasn't on the list of appropriate psalms for ordinations. It speaks to me deeply. It speaks about being known by God, about not being able to run from God or being able to hide. It speaks about being created by God, being knit together in my mother's womb. Unfortunately, our lectionary leaves out a great deal of this psalm as we prayed it today. Not only is the line, "I hate them with a perfect hatred," left out, which is one of my favorite pieces of scripture to quote, but also the following: "Where can I go then to flee from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will cover me and the light around me turn to night, darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike. I love those lines. They resonate with me deep in the parts of my bones that were knit together before I had any knowledge of being. They speak about trying to run from God, trying to hide, and they speak to the fact that that is impossible. That God is aware and alert and involved in your life, even if you don't want God to be. There is no running or hiding from God. God knows you, even if you don't want to be known by God. God knows you, even if you don't know God. And the really good news about that is that God loves you, even if you don't love you. No matter how dark things may seem to you, they are not dark to God. No matter how worthless you may think you are of great value to God. That's such amazingly good news. Fast forward to Philip and Nathanael, the two key players in our gospel reading today. Philip has met Jesus. He is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, the one for whom they have been waiting. And like anyone who's just read a really good book or seen a really great movie or met the Messiah, he rushes to tell all his friends. So he goes to Nathanael and tells him the great news. We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote. Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael shows all his human prejudice and says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip, not a bit dissuaded, says, come and see. Nathanael, perhaps merely responding to his friend's request, pulls himself to his feet, leaves his comfortable study spot under the fig tree, and begins to walk, albeit not briskly, toward this would-be, wannabe, Messiah, whatever. And Jesus says, as he sees Nathanael walking toward him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Wow. Or thanks be to God for Nathanael. Jesus could have said, uh-oh, here comes trouble. Or not this deceitful, passive-aggressive, behind-the-back game player. So Nathanael sort of shifts in his position and stares at his feet because, you know, he's kind of been dissed by Jesus. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus heard me say that. And now Nathanael is in his presence, in the presence of the real deal. And the real deal knows him. Not only by name, but by character. And rather than admit that he's really, really uncomfortable, he says, where did you get to know me? And that's why it's really good news to be here some 2,000 years later. Because it's good to be able to look back on this and say, oh, Nathanael, don't you know who you're dealing with here? Don't you know that Philip was right? This is the one. This is God. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb, whom you cannot run or hide from, try though you may. This is the God who has searched you out and knows you, even if you don't want him to know you, who knows your very soul. Oh, Nathanael, at least you had no guile. Or, as many translations have it, deceit. Good for Nathanael. Because if he had had any deceit, it would have been known. And he finally did know who he was dealing with, or at least it seems that he did. You know, the fact of the matter is, we are all known by God, called by name, even if God is not known to us. Like Samuel, we are called by name by God. We can try to run. We can try to hide. We can take the wings of the morning or go to the uttermost depths of the sea. We can experience the depths of depression or manic euphoria, and everything in between. And even there, we are known by God, and God is with us. We can put God in any box we want to try to. We can try to remove God in any way we know how. Or we can say God doesn't have a clue about what's going on in Anniston, Alabama. Or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, God has knit each and every one of us together in our mother's womb. He has known us before we even knew ourselves. And he has called us as his own. May we be as deceit-free as Nathaniel and as open as Samuel. And let us not only be known by God, but also be known by others to be witnesses for him. Amen. Amen.